9:07, Chris Olinger, thank you, and thanks to John Turk, and thanks to everyone for making my stay at Jay's show such a pleasant one. Hopefully, if Jay's not back, I'll get some more. And if, you know, and if not, ta-ta till the next time. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in for Jay Marvin. And Denver got an F for not firing its worst teachers, and that kind of flies in the face of Barack Obama's new policies. We'll be talking about that coming up. One thing Education Secretary Arne Duncan says, we've seen a race to the bottom. States are lying to children. They're lying to parents. They're ignoring failure, and that's unacceptable. We have to be fierce. You know, the president, who was told by his mom, this is no picnic either for me, Buster, when she woke him up in the morning at 4 to teach him about the U.S. system and English before he went to school in Indonesia, in different languages, it's like, you know, hey, it requires rigor, it requires discipline, it requires focus. But, you know, I think one of the problems is I don't want kids kept in school for 8 hours if they're just going to be shoveled around like little automatons. I think school should be a blend of experiences. And if school involved music and art and financial education and sports, then I could be okay with it being extended. But just grilling and drilling, that's not going to work. Because for one thing, I would shorten the workday. You know what I would do? Here's what I would do. I'd pay everybody for 8 hours and make you work 6. You know why? Because I'm with people who think that people don't work more than 6 hours at a stretch. I really don't think you can. I tend to work in shifts, bites. You know, I tend to take 4 hours, really work concentratedly like now. And then I'll take a few hours off. Today I'm going to a class. But, you know, I'll take a few hours off. I'll stare out. I'll do something fun. And then I'll come back and work some more because that's just how I work. So college is a good environment for me. Grade school was kind of hellish because, you know, by about fifth or sixth period, I'm like, particularly with a bad teacher, it's awful. 9:09 is the time. It's 303-713-7600. I want to hear what your prescription is for our school system. The president spoke about that this week, too. You know, what a busy president. You know, he makes major statements almost every day. I also think you should know something quickly. Go to the Washington Post. If you have a baby, you need to know this. More than half of baby shampoo, lotion, and other infant care products analyzed by a health advocacy group were found to contain trace amounts, of formaldehyde and dioxane, both of which are deemed to be carcinogens by the EPA, Environmental Protection Agency. So they're thinking that this is due to the breakdown in the manufacturing process. It is not necessary. They are not added intentionally, obviously. But apparently the products do contain small amounts of formaldehyde and dioxane. Not good. So our intention is not to alarm parents, but to inform parents that products are claimed to be gentle and pure are contaminated with carcinogens, which is completely unnecessary, said Stacey Malkin, a spokeswoman for Campaign for Safe Cosmetics. I guess I reckon. Hi, TG in Firestone. Welcome, and thank you for joining us.
Hey, good morning from your friendly neighborhood conservative.
Ooh, cool.
Yeah, I absolutely love Jay's show, and I guess on his behalf as well, I would say welcome. And you're talking about education, and I'd just like to pass along, and this is based on some pretty good experience because I've got two daughters, age 11 and 13, and they are both pretty much head and shoulders above their classmates in school in terms of their grades and everything. My oldest daughter is basically reading at a college senior level currently. They no longer have the materials to test her. And here's how we did it. Well, first of all, my wife is a teacher, so that helped a whole lot. And personally, I'm also a writer and a thinker. And what we did is, before they even came out of the womb, we read to them. And then when they showed up, even when they're little bitty babies, we both took the time to read all the stories. And of course, you use all the voices, you make all the faces. And then they laugh, and they love it, and then they associate enjoyment with reading.
And with education.
Well, yes. Well, but you can't have education without reading. Reading is the cornerstone, especially now with the advent of the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you need for information, you can go out and get it so long as reading is a major component of how you go about doing it. But the problem is that with the advent of TV, and I can speak to that too because I make TV, I'm a videographer, but with the advent of TV, you know, reading a lot of times takes a back seat. And if, you know, put it this way, if you're going to be a parent, you're going to have to realize that your life, maybe as you've known it in the past, is basically over. And you need to take on a whole new life, and you need to be responsible for your kids. And one of the first and foremost things is that you teach them a love of reading. If you do that, you will end up with kids who will achieve in school.
I know, and in learning in general, because in our household, we not only grew up with parents who read, we grew up with parents who challenged us, and they encouraged us to think, and they encouraged us to have opinions, and bless them, they encouraged us to have opinions that were different than theirs.
Well, sure.
One of my biggest quibbles with school is, and always will be, that in sometimes it can turn into a cattle factory.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for very bright students in particular, perhaps, but most students in general, I think, you know, we can tell when you're boring, and we can tell when you're not excited by learning, and we can tell when you're just showing up to do a job. So teachers, know that and don't do it. If you don't like it, get out of teaching. Because on the front lines, we need people who are passionate and who are willing to share their knowledge about education in a way that's compelling and helps people learn in a way that helps them think for themselves.
Okay.
So much of our society basically teaches you how to line up and be a good boy or good girl. That's not what I'm talking about.
Okay,
I'm talking about learning things and being able to challenge as well.
Yeah, and can I challenge you with this? Have you been into a school lately and helped out and actually watched the process?
Yes.
Okay, because so have I. And what I've seen with teachers, and yes, I agree in great part with what you're saying. Teachers who are doing a lousy job really ought to get out. And there are some who do a lousy job because they have no passion for it.
There are not a lot. But, there are more good teachers than we would expect from what we hear, though. There are a lot of really good, passionate teachers in the school systems.
I agree. A lot of the acrimony constantly comes from, gosh, you know, they expect to be paid like the well-educated professionals that they are.
They should be. And teacher pay has got to go up. If you want to attract really good people to a business, pay them more.
You have to pay them. Yes.
Yep. Amen, exactly. Brother. Well, we'll agree on that, my friend, the conservative. Thank you.
Yes.
I'm Aaron Hart. This is AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. Mac in Castle Rock, welcome to AM 760. Good morning.
Good morning, Aaron Hart.
Good morning, Mac.
Pleasure to talk to you again after 10 years.
Well, thank you, Mac. Thanks for remembering me, and thanks for showing up again.
You know, I always find it kind of ironic that when you fill in for Jay, that so many people in Colorado don't realize that, unfortunately, that Jay was one of your subsequent replacements a long time ago.
Yeah. Well, that's the business, unfortunately.
Such as it is, huh?
Yeah.
Hey, about the school thing, I would have a hard time with kids being in school for more time, a lot about what you said about the skilling and drilling and the mimeograph or ditto sheet approach to school teaching.
Yeah.
I like the idea of pay for eight, be there for six, because so many teachers, how many teachers do you know that take their own time to do class prep, put their own money into class materials?
Too many. I know too many. I know a lot of them. I read in schools often and try to, you know, get back in and help when I can. I used to do it more often than I do now, I'll admit, But, you know, reading in school is key, and that's one of the things. I brought my performing talents into the schools because I figured, hey, that's what I know how to do, so I'll do it. And I've read in English and in Spanish, and it's really fun.
Yeah.
But, you know, the teachers that I met, they're buying like, magic markers, basic supplies, construction paper.
Pencil.
That's silly.
Yeah. And I like what you just said about the art and music and bringing that back into the classroom. How important is that?
I'll tell you how important it is. You know, it teaches you how to think. For one thing, study after study after study after study shows that if you teach children art and music at an early age, they think better conceptually in math, better conceptually, better in comprehension, because you need a whole brain approach. You need right and left brain learning.
I agree.
And I just think it's critical. I can't tell you. You know, I read David Brooks has a column today in today's New York Times about education. And one of the things he says, if you ask a kid who's successful in school, who are your favorite teachers, they can read off nine or 10. If you ask a kid who dropped out, they won't understand what you're talking about. And that's a very good point, because one of my teachers, Robert Simon, who taught me music appreciation back in Greeley when I was a kid, just amazing, you know? I mean, he lit up a classroom with his love of classical music. To this day, I enjoy music more thanks to him.
Yep.
I got better at performing in musicals because of him.
Wow.
You know, it's just, there's so many different things that you can learn from someone. And eventually, I actually learned algebra, too. I don't know whether that had anything to do with music, but it probably did.
Yes, it did. You know, there's other things, too. I'm optimistic to hear that the CSAP testing may be done away with. I don't believe in, you know, a classroom philosophy as teaching to the test.
No.
We have such a lack of the ability for critical thinking anymore.
I think we do need to take some measure, though, of what students are learning.
There does need to be a standard to attain. But what I saw happen was that the teachers were just teaching to the test,
right,
so that they could get the results that the school district superintendent, you know, was looking for.
Good point, Mac. Thank you so much. And thanks for calling again after a 10-year absence.
Can I get 30 seconds more?
Pardon me?
Can I get 30 seconds more?
Actually, I got to dance to a break.
Oh, darn it.
Sorry
right.
about that.
I'll
oh,
try,
all right. John gave you a dispensation. Go ahead.
Okay. I see a lot of problems. I'm old enough now to see more younger generations coming out of the school system. And I see, a definite lack of proper grammar. People that don't know use the word accept versus accept. Little stupid things like that. They had a fellow on yesterday who I believe meant to say deprived, but said depraved. You know, it's just, I don't know what's happening, but people, we're just losing the ability to think and figure things out and speak properly.
Well, sometimes it's a Damon Runyon kind of thing, and I kind of like those, but I understand what you're talking about, malapropisms and stuff, and I do them too. And I'm not, sometimes the grammar police calls me out, so I'm going to be the last one who does that. Besides, I thought facsimile was fastest mile for the longest time. So there. It's 9:20. I'm Erin Hart. This is AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk, and John Turk.
Now I'm nervous to mess up any pronunciations.
I was going to say, you better mind your P's
and Q's. I don't like the whole
Q's,
pronunciation
dude.
Police. Those kind of people drive me crazy.
Grammar police, I love.
Oh, man, they drive me nuts. You like them?
No.
Okay.
No, and I like good
we
grammar.
We get a lot of that here.
Yeah.
You're saying progressive talk, not progressive talk.
Yes, I'll bet you hear that about
And I'm
what,
saying progressive talk, but it may sound like progressive talk sometimes. and I get, no, John, it's progressive talk.
Do you know what I catch myself saying, though, that I don't like? I say jest sometimes, like just a little bit.
Yeah, instead
it's
of just
a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, we all botch the English language, so.
Thank you. It's all right.
George Bush did it for 8 years.
Thank you, and our country, too.
Yep.
He knows. Now a Brazilian music. Yes, Siri Bob. I'm Erin Hart. And this is Jay's show, and I'm filling in. And dandy to have you along this morning. It's 9:24. I'd love to talk to you about whatever you'd like to talk about. You can pick the topic this hour. I'm talking about education a little bit. I also want to play the rest of that John Stewart interview, which I'll do coming up here shortly. Well, actually, John will do it for me because he can. The reality is, though, the reality is that Barack Obama is a little more conservative than many liberals are on the issues of education, and I kind of like it. But I don't want to have school be devoid of fun either, because I think music is important. I think sports are important. I think that learning how to think is important. I think learning how to socially interact is important. All those things are important. Traveling is important. Jim in Brighton, welcome to AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. Good morning.
Good morning, Erin. Yeah, I just wanted to say, that when they say the progressive, the one part I don't like is when they say progressive.
Oh, progressive?
Yeah, what are you, a progressive? I'm like, what?
Well, I don't say progressive.
No,
I do
no.
say progressive. I do kind of slur the O. But
yeah, John thinks I was talking about him, but there was the other guy.
Well, here's my question, Jim.
Yes.
If you hear, I mean, I just don't understand where the passion is. If you hear something mispronounced, where are you going to grab the phone and call up and complain?
Well, heck, I get to get on the air and entertain the whole entire
Well, no, most of the times when you called me, you didn't get on the air. You just called me to complain about.
I don't think I was talking about you.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. No. Let's go back, Jim. So, Jim, what does motivate you to call up and say, "Wow"?
I was born to entertain. I was born to entertain. That's why I call.
I see.
I love calling. And then there was just the commercial that just passed. He said, "I told her that she looked great." What did you told her? That she looked like a toad? They don't pronounce L words. In Booter, you ever been to the town of Booter?
You know, I'm curious about is why you think all this is funny.
I think it's hilarious from my perspective. You know why? Because people make fun of New Jersey, and guess what? There's a lot of other places you can make fun of.
Oh, this is secret New Jersey rancor.
Yes. You know, people with character. I'm very proud.
Now I understand.
What are you supposed to not be proud from where you're from?
No.
I was born there, and then, you know.
Absolutely. You're supposed to be proud of it.
That's
totally.
Right. I'm proud of who I am. I'm a good-hearted person. Nobody's going to take that away from me. Especially when
he said hearted, not hearted.
Yes,
like
he did.
Gunny Bob.
Because he's from New Jersey.
Jim,
you
said
that...
hearted, not hearted.
No, I'm going to tell you.
You mispronounced
story,
it,
but
dude.
I'm not going to be able to tell part of it because you're not going to be allowed to say that. But this guy said, "Could you pass me the?" I said, "Could you pass me the hammer?" I was on a roof. He goes, "Aren't you supposed to say pass me the hammer? You're from New Jersey." I said, "No, we don't say mother f."
Mother
f.
Yeah. But the thing is, most people don't know the distinction between New York and New Jersey accents.
That's right. But guess what?
Having
from
lived
the Philadelphia metropolitan area, know that we pronounce.
I understand. I understand. And you're going to say things.
I'm trying to fish rest my joke. We pronounce er at the end of our words. We're the beginning of We are.
Yeah. And I guess you like being the grammar police, which kind of flies in the face of being relaxed and easygoing from New Jersey. But there you go. Now the thing is, you know, the grammar police notwithstanding, I would say to you, did you know that name me the top actor who actually made himself study a New Jersey accent so he would get it better in the long-running series he was on?
I could not tell you.
Tony Soprano, James Gandolfini. You're not a very good New Jerseyite if you don't even know that kind of trivia.
Well, I
know
all the words that they're saying, like Cavone and Mooley and...
Well, who doesn't if they lived in the tri-state area?
You know, the back of their boat is called, the Stugats. Do you know what
Stugats.
That means?
Yeah.
I'm not going to say. I don't want to get
You can't
it.
Say.
It means stupid, stupid cojones, basically.
Yes, I know, but you can't
you
say
know how
you
to
can't
do
say the other
stupid
words.
Stupid in your cojones.
Yeah. Anyway. Okay, thanks
so,
a bunch.
What are you, progressive here?
Yeah, I don't know if you're progressive there, but at least you're with an E.I. You know what I mean?
I rest my case on the grammar police right there, Aaron. Point proven.
Okay. Obviously.
I mean, I'll listen to people if you're always... But he has an accent. You can't call if you got a thick, you know, East Coast accent and complain about other people's
Now you're getting your Californication and your East Coastification ire up in terms of being a Coloradoan. I understand. I do. But I think he's trying to be funny, and maybe his humor misses you, or is he just annoying?
No, when this was going on, he was pretty irate about it, and would call like every day.
Oh, so he didn't needle you? He was angry.
He'd needle him, and he seemed genuinely angry.
Goodness, gracious. You know, you kind of wonder if we're ever going to have peace in our time if we're going
to
argue.
Like,
over
I had this
Coast,
one
West
gal
Coast.
Call up and try to correct Coast. Jay on how he would say, like, me and Mary and myself. And she'd be like, "No, Jay, you don't say that. You say Mary and I."
Oh, the president does it all the time, and I like him for it. He did Michelle and me went here. Good. Or Michelle and I went
you
here.
You know, if I say
something
me and Michelle,
that wasn't correct.
Sorry if I preceded it with myself, but that's just the way sometimes it happens.
I'm Aaron Hart. This is AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. Are you ready for traffic, dude? All right, I'll go to Gary first. Gary in Grand Lake. Hi. I love Grand Lake, by the way. How are you?
Well, good morning. What a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
Sometimes I think I'm on Sesame Street.
Go ahead. Well, I mean, your show does have that flavor. It's very comfortable and it moves along quite well.
Thank you.
You're very insightful, and I certainly respect the fact that you don't let your guests get away with the bison scat that some of them like to spew.
Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. I am a educator, okay? I teach sixth grade.
And Hardest job in America, I would imagine. One of them.
No, I'll tell you what. Those sixth graders make me feel young every day I walk into that classroom.
How cool.
And I've had some of the most difficult classes that one can imagine. I've had some great classes. I've had the whole gambit. And over the years, I've truly have had a great opportunity to meet some people in the field that know exactly what they're talking about. And I'm sure they wouldn't mind me mentioning their name. Jim Fay is one of them. Foster Klein is another, who are right on top of education and what it really is. And what it is, in my opinion, after doing this for 25 years, is it's just like a triangle. You put the student on the top, you have the parent and the teacher on the bottom, and there's arrows going in both directions. And if you don't have that communications working and everybody on the same page, then that child does not get the kind of self-respect, the self-esteem that they need, the trust that they need. Maybe at home they don't feel like their parents really care about them. You know how it is? I mean, I kind of grew up that way. I had so many brothers and sisters, I was kind of like, go on your
own.
Felt
a little lost.
Yeah. And what I have discovered is if, you know, when you have students and you get to know them, and this is one of the things that irritates me about any school district that I've ever worked around or been in, is that they want you to start out at the beginning of the year testing the student to see what they know. I can tell you what they know by just working with them in a week. But what I want to know is, who are you?
That is so great to hear. Who are you as an individual? Who are you as a person?
You play soccer?
Absolutely.
You play an instrument? You know, what do you do? Mm-hmm. And then when you see them throughout the school year, you can say to them, you know, well, how was your game? And you show them genuine interest in who they are. Once you build up that trust, then they're willing to listen to you. If they're willing to listen to you, they're willing to try to learn what you're delivering to them. And when you do your delivery system, it's in a way that is, like, I teach sixth grade, so I can be sarcastic. They get it. You can be funny. You can have fun in the classroom.
Yes, you can. Absolutely. They get the jokes. And you know what? I don't know. I can remember when a teacher first started joking around with us, and we all thought he was great because he actually let us know that we could be in on the joke. And nothing feels better than feeling like you're a part of humor and having fun and enjoying life. You know, it's just a whole nother level. I agree with you completely. A lot of what you say makes so much sense.
Well, I wish I could get that to some people in my school district, because every time I bring it up at meetings, where we were brought in for a half a day of training, of which personally I find insulting because I've already done this all for so long.
Should bad teachers be fired?
You know, over the years, to be very honest with you, I've only met three teachers that I would say were not redeemable.
Ready for prime time. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there was nothing that you could have done to change their persona, their demeanor, their attitude, the way they treated kids. It was the way they were built. They picked the wrong profession. I'm sorry, you don't really belong in this profession.
Gotcha.
But three teachers over all those
and
years.
And that's not a lot. And see, here's what I would say.
But I'm talking about hundreds of teachers I've known. Hundreds.
I know you are. I can hear that. And I thank you for your time, but we're plumb out of it. So thank you so much, Gary in Grand Lake. I'm Erin Hart. It's 9:34. I'd love to hear from you, too. It's Open Line Friday. We're talking about education this hour. 303-713-7600 on the J. Marvin Show. And here's John Turk with traffic.
God, several crappy teachers. I don't know.
You did?
Yeah, and I was
that
in a great school system.
That explains you.
Yeah. No, I had some great ones and some bad ones. So.
I had some really, really great ones and some really bad
ones.
But
the good ones really stick out. One of my favorite professors was my history of jazz teacher down at Fort Lewis College.
Ooh.
Woody Wang was his name, and he was a world-renowned pianist.
Wow.
And he came in, and I swear to God, every day we'd like walk in there and just like, wow, what are we going to listen to today? And he would sit there and play on the piano and be like, you hear that right there? That's what I'm talking about. That's syncopation. And it was like, man, it was the most interesting class I ever took.
How fabulous is that? Thank you,
John. History of jazz, yeah. Sorry to...
No, it's great.
Go off on a little tangent.
¶¶
Hey, it's 9:40. I'm the red rooster. Oh, man, he's going to torture me. This is AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. Thank goodness it is Friday. And Jay, feel better. Dude, heal up. When I was healing up from wisdom teeth one time, I imaged these men in white coats of all colors, I will add. And blue, for some reason, blue appealed to me, like little coats like doctors wear. And I imaged them, men and women, actually, little people going to my teeth and healing them. And the doctor said I healed faster than anybody had ever seen. I don't know. The little medical person theory. I don't know. It sounds kind of stupid and sappy now that I say it out loud. Lee in Boulder, welcome to AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. Good morning.
Lots of good wishes to Jay Marvin, too.
Yes, indeed.
I just wanted to say that I appreciated what John Turk said about his memorable teacher and the previous caller. The problem, I mean, in both cases, they were talking about an eye-level relationship between a child and an adult. And it's, you know, sharing something of a common interest where there's no thing about authority or hierarchy. And there are very few school systems that can manage that over a long enough period of time to raise students into adults and, children into adults who have this kind of eye-level, full, relaxed ability to interact with others in the world.
But I've seen commanding teachers who are interesting people and very good at what they did, and they weren't particularly disciplinarians. You just didn't want to mess up because they were compelling, and why interrupt them?
Yes, exactly. Well, I'm not talking about how children... Yeah, exactly. They shared who they were with you and were interested in who you are.
Yes.
And there is a whole school system that is involved with...
sit down, learn what I tell you right now?
No, the opposite, hands and heart, where you do a lot of crafts all the way through, particularly different kinds of increasingly involved crafts, along with very good academics and all, but music and art are right from the beginning, all the
very
sensual
important
experience. And what you have is the difference between, a child in high school from that education system that talks to me without any... kind of any reticence or need to kind of be sneakily dissing me or any kind of puppyish, they just are who they are. They're not trying to be to entertain me, whereas when I see some children who are, say, upper middle school and about to go into college, relatives of mine I just visited, there's always some kind of strain and self-consciousness. No matter how much, we kind of love each other, whatever, there's this... They've been raised with a different relationship between their education has been different. It's been some kind of contest.
Well, I think yes, and that kind of contest, I've had that experience too, and I vastly prefer the one that you were talking about at first, which is where you teach the whole person and the whole mind, not just segments of it, and not as if you're like some sort of series of separate slices of pie on different plates, that you're a whole pie in an integral pan, if you know what I mean. I think that's part of the challenge, and which is why I think teachers are some of the hardest working and most noble of workers, because they have one of the hardest jobs there is, because it does begin at home, though. It really does. It begins at home, and it is the responsibility of parents, which I also like that Obama is talking about, because I do think that parents need to be more engaged, and early education is absolutely critical.
Exactly.
And key. The better children do in early education, the more funding we have for it, the better off we all are as a society.
Yes, and there are some school systems that encourage that kind of community between the parents and the school. They all try to foster it, but where the parents actually study some. I'm talking, of course, about Waldorf and Rudolf Steiner. There are always problems with different systems, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so much care and thought that has gone into that, and a lot of experience with the senses that is so important. And I just really, want to say that.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Lee. I really appreciate it.
I lost my last thought, but that's okay.
Sometimes they just go off into the world and they'll come back later. You'll see.
Thank you
so much.
Erin.
You're welcome, Lee. You know what? I just want to note this, too. Governor Mark Sanford, creep of the week, is, you know, with the second highest unemployment in the nation, he is denying the citizens of his state in South Carolina extra money for unemployment in this once-in-a-lifetime terrible economy that we have. Now, here's the thing. I mean, arguing that $700 million to pay debts isn't stimulative and won't create jobs, he won't take the money. Well, thank goodness the legislature in South Carolina, also run by Republicans, is setting up the situation to overrule the dope. I hope he gets thrown out of office. 303-713-7600, Eric in Arvada. Welcome, and thank you for joining us.
Hi, Aaron.
Hi, Eric.
I didn't call about this, but you were mentioning Sanford. myself, just a personal opinion on that. He is term limited, so he's done.
Oh,
and
good.
I think the whole
Sorry,
thing
I
is I think the whole thing is a setup. They run these dodges all the time. It's a Republican legislature. He gets to say he turned it down if he runs for president. The Republicans still get the money. It's kind of like I've been a union guy all my life. Years ago, we had a contract and everybody signed it, and of course, you know, everybody we wanted it. We wanted to keep working, and we had one of the employees there. He got the best of both worlds. You know, he voted to take the contract, but he complained about it and said he didn't. And I think that's what they're doing. They just want their cake and eat it, too. But anyway, the reason that I called, Aaron, if I got just another minute of time, is this business that the neocons are resurrecting the, thank God, Barack Obama inherited a world without Saddam Hussein Khan again.
Oh, please. That stuff is so ridiculous.
Well, Fleischer was on with Chris Matthews. And
we played that yesterday, yeah.
Oh, okay. And
Go ahead.
And yesterday,
I can't hear it enough.
Yesterday, that Frank Gaffney was debating, I'll think of it in a second. He's a very good man. He's a real good man. Anyway, Gaffney's running the same con, but here is what they are really trying to push. They're trying to resurrect the dodge that Cheney sold the New York Times and then quoted the New York Times in saying that Atta met with Iraqi officials in Europe.
Yes, and that was It was David Corn. Yep,
he did a very good job with him, but he just couldn't get in.
No, he wouldn't. The other guy wouldn't shut up. He was filibustering. Absolutely. No, they're trying to resurrect a number of lies. But the good thing is about it is that for the moment, at least, a lot of the pundits are aware of that, although too many people are calling it the Obama recession.
Did
you hear this? Wait, I'll just ask you to hold. John, do you have that clip handy, the Obama recession one that was compiled by Media Matters? All right, we're going to play that in just a few minutes. I want you to keep an ear to the radio for this one because it really is stunning what they did. They just have been putting out these little, you know, two-word, this is their masters of this, the two-word knock, you know, and they're already starting to label it the Obama recession. Look for them when he starts dealing with Afghanistan and Iraq. It's going to be the Obama war.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're going to try to label him. But you know what? People had 8 years of George Bush, and we've put together clip after clip of all the lies that they told us, all the distortions that they made, how they bamboozled the American people and fooling them into thinking that Saddam Hussein was one of the backers of 9/11, which is totally not true.
They're trying to resurrect that. You know, but these young ones, I think it was 24 million, 18 to 29 voted.
Yeah.
16 million of them voted for President Obama.
Right.
And see, these young ones, they don't buy this stuff the way the older people do.
No, and there were a number of people who weren't fooled by that nasty propaganda anyway. I'm not sure I bought that 80% of the people bought it, because I don't think that's true.
No, that was totally false. There were many, many, many people that I remember talking to at the time, and we're all
on
going,
the radio
this,
and
is
everywhere
all, this,
else.
Is, this is garbage.
Yep. Thank you so much for calling. Here's that recession labeling that's going on. Here
Thanks,
we go.
Sir.
You bet. And then we'll go to break.
This is the Media Matters Minute. I'm Ben Fischel. It seems the media has developed a bit of a double standard when it comes to the economy, adopting a new catchphrase, the Obama bear market.
Can this now fairly be called the Obama bear market?
He has his own bear market, a 20% decline. This is now the Obama bear market.
And our headline this Friday night, welcome to day number 46 of Obama's bear market.
I think that we're, without question,
well, 53
in the
days
Obama
he's been in power.
Bear market.
Interestingly, the media has never once made a reference to a Bush bear market, even though the Bush administration saw two periods of over 20% decline in the stock market, one bear market for each of his terms.
Thanks. And see, that's the thing, bear market, Obama bear market, Obama bear market. Well, you know what? He's been in office for 53 days, and he's already changed the universe in many ways. For one thing, we have a president who's smart enough to be able to outrun you, outdistance you, and outwit and outlast you. It's 9:50. I'm Aaron Hart. This is AM 760, Colorado's Progressives Talk. Standing by for John Turk with the last traffic report of this morning on this show.
That's right.
I like this song, too. Yeah, Little Prince. Now, see, that's a singer I can get behind. Yeah. Playing all the instruments yourself. Tell me that's not rock and roll. It's 9:55 in the morning. Good morning. Nate, you're up next. Welcome, and thanks for joining us on Jay Marvin's show on AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. Good morning. Boom,
real
you're
quick.
In.
I think yes, I sir. Just read yesterday in the paper, or I don't know, maybe it was on the internet, but George Bush lost more wealth, American wealth, in the last 4 years than has ever been recorded. So if, I mean, this recession can't be bad enough to make Barack even comparable to what we just went through the last 8 years.
Well, it's ridiculous to say in 53 days he's had a worse time economic. I mean, it's just so insane. It's stupid. It's so transparent. It's like, what do they think we are? Massive amnesiacs? I mean, do they think we all forgot the last 8 years?
And this is all of America, the rich, the poor, everybody. I mean, we lost a tremendous amount of wealth under the Republicans in the last 8 years. And it's just like...
And these are the supposed... Sorry, go ahead.
Call it whatever you want. The declining market, well, just 2 days or the last 3 days, the market's been up 6%. So So is this the bull
market? The Obama recovery?
Obama bull market?
Yes.
I mean, come on, give us a break.
It's ridiculous. And, you know, about all the Republicans did was trickle down on us. That's what they did. And I'm not saying that in a good way either. If not outright revenue. And it wasn't revenue streaming down on our heads. Let's put it that way.
And I've never seen a party flounder as much as they are floundering right now. They're throwing poop at the wall and trying to find anything that sticks.
So bad. I mean, we actually did that earlier this week. We made fun of the Republicans. We're like, are they in such disarray or what? I mean, you almost feel bad making fun of them because they're so... I mean, Ari Fleischer was such a jerk on Chris Matthews. And then even to the end, he's going, yes, but we're safer in Saddam Hussein in Iraq and trying to conflate the two yet again. And everybody's looking at him like, what? Are you guys going to keep this up? I mean, you're incorrigible. You can't be believing in this stuff anymore.
Only 25% of us believe it anymore. Thank God for that.
Well, yeah. You'd think that, maybe that's our school system. We got to get to work on that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nate. Have a good day. And all of you have a good day. As you go about your day, think about this. Look around you. Just look around. See who's hurting, who isn't. Try to keep focus on what's right and true and, you know, listen to Jim Cramer. Have a great time listening to Jim Cramer. I like Jim Cramer. I'm rooting for him. But I do believe Jon Stewart taking him to task had some good sense in it. So to paraphrase Jane Austen, who really is wise about everything, look for sense and sensibility in all things. Look for what truly matters, which is family and hearth and home and taking care of each other and making this world a better place. And with that said, John Turk, have a wonderful weekend. Free of the grammar police, dude.
I will. You too, Aaron. Thank you.
Thanks to all of you. And thanks, Jay Marvin. Feel better. I'm Aaron Hart, and I'm out. Take care.